if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 352 of this here podcast, and this here podcast is BRB UK. Welcome one and all. I am Dan. I'm one of your hosts. I'm here yet again, even though many of you may not want me here. I just show up every week and everyone else turns up at the same time. Like Coleman, hello.
Hi, I want you here.
And there's also Tim.
Hello.
How are you all doing, chaps?
Yeah, all good. Yourself?
Yeah.
I'm especially good because Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 comes out the day that this podcast comes out.
Oh, snap. It does, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
I was having a little look at the pre-order on that on the Switch, and I am slightly amazed at prices on the Switch store, as always.
Yes, I'm quite amazed, but I've got it preloaded and ready to go.
My only problem is I'm also tempted by the DLC as well.
That's the thing.
That puts the price up a bit more.
No.
Yeah, it puts it up to like 70 quid or something ridiculous.
£67, I believe. £67 and some pence. But that might be because I've got some gold coin things or whatever, though.
I was tempted, and then I saw the price and decided, do you know what? I think just get the game, and then if you enjoy the game, then maybe put down for some DLC.
that's what I'm thinking. Because what happens if you buy the game and then it sucks? And I don't think it's going to suck, though. Do you? I think it's going to be good, hopefully.
Yeah, it should be great. And I can't see anything wrong. I mean, why would you just buy a full game and a season pass at the same time? Every WWE game.
Question for you there, Coleman. Yep. Have you learnt anything from that experience?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The last two I haven't bought the season pass for. Or was it
there
just the
go.
Last one, maybe? I think the last one I didn't pre-order, but one of them I got the season pass and it was unplayable. So yay.
That might just be the game, right?
Oh, it was unplayable.
So yeah, I don't know. I do need to pre-order it, but I'm just seeing if I can find a good deal for it anyway. Is it download only, isn't it?
No, I think there is physical copies, but they're £50 as well, basically, from what I've seen.
Although I need to buy a bigger SD card for my Switcheroonie.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. Running out of
room. Do it. Stuff.
Do it. But talking of switches, hot on the heels of an actual brand new newness last week with the Switch Lite, which you can only remove the Joy-Cons from if you have a buzzsaw. There is a new version of the OG Switch.
A new old switch.
Not the new switch.
What is old is new is old again and new again.
No. The new, Tim, listen to me.
The
new
360.
Old Switch.
What?
It's, to all intents and purposes, externally looks exactly the same. But as I think we predicted last time, the new version of the Tegra processor is making its way to said Switch. And although it's not giving to a bump in kind of graphical or computing grunt, it is a more efficient chip, which means that you get about an hour to 2 hours to maybe even 3 hours more battery life out of your Switch.
Ooh, battery
and
life
I
on a Switch.
I think the main reason Nintendo wanted to do it was to patch the vulnerability that allows for homebrew running on OG Switches.
Patch out the naughtiness.
I would happily trade that in for more hours, please. Yep, I'll do that. That'll be okay.
Ironically,
have they fixed the drifting problem?
That is a Joy-Con thing, but that you would be able to fix presumably by buying other Joy-Cons. There are new Joy-Con colours out this year, I think.
Yes, yeah, yellow and purple.
Yeah, I almost pulled the trigger on that hoary Joy-Con with the
actual
D-pad.
Yes, I am tempted.
I almost did, but then I read the reviews.
Oh, really?
Not good?
Yeah, not great.
I hear a lot of them have been turning up broken.
Yes. But it'd be great if Nintendo did actually do that, even though they said they're not going to, but that is a Nintendo-type solution for you. So if you're wondering, or you're perusing the shelves for a new Switch, you want to be looking for Switch hardware units with the rather ironic model number HAC001(01). And serial numbers beginning with XKW, that is X-ray Kilo Whiskey, if you're going all phonetic.
Thank you.
They have the extended battery life.
Yeah. So interestingly, now there's this hardware revision to the original Nintendo Switch, which we were speaking about. They had to reclassify the Switch because there is such a difference in the battery life and things. It now makes the out of the three Switches on the market of the OG Nintendo Switch, the Switch Lite, and then this new revision, this is now the more powerful one, and the original one is the least powerful one, with the Lite sitting firmly in the middle.
Makes sense to somebody, right?
Kind of muddied the waters a bit. You can see why they didn't announce this at the same time as last week, but I guess it makes sense to announce it not too long afterwards and before people have necessarily put down pre-orders for the new Switch thing.
How long until we hear the third announcement of the Switch Pro?
Which is two OG Switches. We've already talked about this is how they're going to do VR. Two OG Switches gaffer taped together inside a cycling helmet.
They're already doing VR just in cardboard. And
it makes you look like even more of a dullard than usual with VR, though.
I keep on meaning to try Mario in that and haven't gone back to do so, but yeah.
Yours. Remember to look out for model numbers HAC001(01) and serial numbers beginning XKW if you want. Apparently the jump is quite marked. If you're playing Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which you've if you haven't got a Switch and you're going to pick up a Switch, I thoroughly recommend you pick up that game. On current Switch hardware, it runs for about 3 hours on battery power, but on the updated one, you'll get 5.5 hours.
Ain't bad if you've got a long plane journey.
Yeah, that's some good more hours.
Mm. That is good. I mean, I have to say, I did actually invest in an external battery pack to charge up my Switch while travelling.
I have a question for both of you gentlemen then. In light of the news of last week, and I think we were all settled on it would be foolish to upgrade to the one announced last week, are you now thinking about possibly upgrading to this one or holding out for the Pro?
No, if my Switch broke, I'm now out of warranty on my Switch. If my Switch broke and I had to get a new one, I would go for this. But I don't think it's worth even, because if you trade your Switch in, you're probably going to get about, what, £150 for it? It's not worth the additional £150 to get you up to the ticket price for an extra couple of hours. You just spend the extra money on a battery pack.
I think if there is a Switch Pro, then there's a possibility of an upgrade. But I've been thinking of getting a second Switch in the household, for one for me and one for my girlfriend. So either if it's this revision or if it is a more powerful Switch in total, I'll be getting a lovely new Switch while she takes my old one.
I was going to ask that exact question.
But, you know, much though I hate to rain on your cohabiting bliss, Coleman,
yeah.
That it isn't a more powerful Switch.
No. It's there's more battery life on this one. I'm saying if they come more out power. With a Switch Pro with more power to it, then...
There we go.
Yeah.
Electrical
Just
power.
Making sure we're not misleading our audience. So, yeah. So, I have no idea how they're going to... If you order from the Nintendo store, exactly what one you're going to get.
I bet they get rid of the old stock first.
Are you going to get... Yeah. So, I'd imagine... You know, you probably, if you're going to go and buy one, you probably want to physically see the box because that will have the serial number and the model number on it. What's this about the Chinese president?
Okay, so do you want some points of interest?
I would love some points of interest.
Points of interest!
Points of interest!
So there was a Taiwanese horror game called Devotion that was out on Steam, and it was a cult classic and it did very well for itself. And then all of a sudden in February, they pulled the game, they being the developer Red Candle Games. And it turned out it was because, I don't know if you guys are aware of, there's a joke made about the Chinese president, President Xi.
And he looks like Pooh Bear.
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Xi Jinping, and that he looks like Winnie the Pooh. And it's this big comical thing for everyone around the world apart from China. And
I mean, you really should just take that joke well. It's not a bad comparison, and you do kind of look like him.
Yeah.
Like the comparison photos.
Can I just say, you also pronounce China in a really strange way.
Yeah,
though,
I was trying
to,
I went slightly Trump for that one.
Did you?
China.
Like, don't say it with an accent. Don't say it with an accent. All right, we'll go with this accent instead.
That was
then.
Not
oh,
the
shit.
Intention. Anyway, sorry. So anyway, the game got pulled back in February, and people have been wondering, are you just going to take out the image of the Winnie the Pooh President Xi Jinping together, or what's going on with this? And they released a statement today saying that that they won't be putting this back on Steam. So that's the end of devotion, which by all
bloody
you know,
hell,
yeah, it seems quite sad.
I mean, to just kind of just rolling back on this, that's pretty scary, the amount of influence that, you know, if you make a joke about the appearance of a leader, which I think, you know, in a society with free speech, I think you're within the bounds of normal social discourse allowed to do so. You're allowed to, you know,
especially in the instance where he does look like Pooh Bear.
Well, yeah, exactly. But the fact that that is viewed as such an act against the state that your very livelihood can be kind of taken out round the back and shot, essentially, as is the case with this, that's terrifying. Whether or not that's the way America's heading, hey, who knows, right? But yeah, it's pretty terrifying. Makes you appreciate what we have in terms of free speech here, I think.
Has anyone got a statement from Pooh Bear about whether he feels that the comparison is favourable on him? Because
it's,
you know,
just something about honey.
No. They said, hey, Winnie the Pooh, did you realise that the Chinese president looks a bit like you? And he said, oh, bother.
Yeah. There we go.
I wish I had a Winnie the Pooh. Sadly, no.
Oh
dear.
But anyway, yeah, Devotion. If you were looking forward to picking that game up, sadly, no. It no exists no more.
It no there anymore.
Minecraft.
It no more.
Minecraft Earth Beta. That's now live.
Oh, I could not give a rat's ass about this, but let's talk about it anyway.
Some people do. They announced it. It's a nice little AR version of Minecraft, and if you build your Minecraft models, you can now stick it in the AR tech and you can view it in the real world. That's why it's called Minecraft Earth. There is now a beta. It's live only in London and Seattle for some reason. It is a closed beta, which is only open to a handful of people currently. But there should be more cities going live in the next few days. And yeah, I'm assuming that they'll, you know, we should start seeing more in terms of videos to that game of how that reacts in the real world and not behind closed doors. So I love me some AR stuff. I would like to see how this works. And Minecraft seems to be a weird testbed at the moment where they keep testing softwares with Minecraft to see how it's become the new Crysis. So instead of using Crysis to ram up your memory, your graphics card, you go, hey, this is pretty cool looking tech there with your ray tracing, but how does it look in Minecraft?
Ray trace Minecraft looks pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've heard.
I think this was at its most impressive, where it's essentially an offshoot of what they were showing off the original HoloLens, wasn't it? Where it's like, hey, look, here's a Minecraft world on a table.
And that was a cool-looking presentation they did back at that E3, what, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, something like that?
I do think its simplistic and blocky nature both lends itself well to experimenting in both AR and general technologies with it, though. No, it's a good use of that, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's I think it's a really cool proof of concept.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. And, you know, it may well be that you can kind of play, yeah, presumably the ultimate aim of this as an app is that you can place your creations at specific locations in the real world and everyone's going to be able to see them. It is going to devolve into building giant cocks in the middle of Trafalgar Square. I warn you now.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah. Cock battle between Slough and London.
Cock battle. We will win.
What, in Slough?
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to... I'm looking forward to the point in like 20 years' time where we stop talking about Doom and any new kind of technology, people will just go, yeah, but does it run Minecraft?
I'll bet you there are fridges out there that can run Minecraft. I bet my car could run Minecraft, actually.
Probably.
Probably. But I should probably drive it instead of playing Minecraft.
The controls
would
be terrible, though.
yeah, exactly. But in other news, it's slightly more exciting news. And I think this is something we're all looking forward to. This is kind of a series that you got me started on, Tim. The third installment of Luigi's Mansion has had its release date announced, and they've done a clever. It's being released on Halloween, 31st of October. Other pagan holidays are available.
I mean, yeah, let's not... too long to wait from now, I guess, and it kind of is a date that makes sense. It would have been nice a bit earlier, but I guess with everything else they scheduled, like, I wasn't even necessarily sure that this would be this year. They kind of hinted it was, but I thought it might be Christmas. But yeah, so 31st of October makes sense, good date. And yeah, as you said as well, really looking forward to it after the last game. And yeah, I don't, did you watch any of the E3 stuff that they showed on it? They had a little bit. Nintendo Treehouse thing on it as well, basically.
Luigi!
They showed off a few levels of it and stuff, and him, like, teleporting through TVs and other bits and bobs. But, yeah, like, set in a hotel rather than a mansion, which is the only thing. It's a bit weird, but, yeah.
It could be a repurposed mansion.
But it looks
Luigi's Travel Lodge doesn't sound quite the same.
But it looks like each floor of that hotel has like a different flavor to it and a different kind of overall theme.
I have a question.
Yes.
How does he know what each floor tastes like? You said flavor.
Well, you know, big ghost licking things, maybe.
What?
Well, he's got Guigi, so you know that's gonna Guigi.
I managed to actually slightly block Guigi from my memory, but now you brought it back, and it's not good times.
Guigi's gonna be awesome. He's gonna be your best friend, Dan.
So with Luigi's Mansion 3 coming out in October, you've got that along with The Outer Worlds, Medieval, Call of Duty: Modern Warfare. Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint. There's a few games
might
out.
Might be less likely to be picking that up then. We'll see.
I'm mumming and ahhing over Breakpoint.
Well, see, in that whole list of games, I'm quite excited by The Outer Worlds. That looking good, but I think this Luigi's Mansion is still top of the list for me out of all of that lot. I think basically, yeah. The last one was brilliant, basically. So yeah.
2 days before Luigi's Mansion 3, you get Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz HD.
I'm telling you, if they've got that ball splitting thing, I may not pick it up on launch. The thing where you like launch your monkey ball off a ramp and then
monkey ball wings.
Split the monkey ball thing open, it becomes wings, and then you have to land on a target. If they have that, I will purchase that game at some point, whether it's a launch or otherwise. Just for that mini game.
Luigi!
Is that the one that was last in? I think it was. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, I hope so.
I think that's the Wii version, which I didn't like very much. So, hey.
Yeah, but as long as it's got that mini game in, that's all I care about.
Fine.
I have to say, November's looking pretty busy as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
November's busy.
It's kicking off, son.
Star Wars, baby.
After August. It really does kick off. Some Doom Eternal. We'll be having me some of that.
I'm weirdly looking forward to Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
I don't care about that game again this year.
I'll tell you what I will be saving myself for, though.
Private Ryan?
No, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020.
Oh, yeah, that looks really good as well, actually.
So, all kinds of stuff. I think we've run out of points of interest.
Points of interest!
It's another quiet news week.
They're done. Yeah, the problem is as we're recording today, is the first day of San Diego Comic-Con.
Certainly is.
So all the outlets are off, PR companies and what have you doing that, and we don't know what's going on in the world. Apparently, though, there is the Avengers game, Marvel's Avengers from Square Enix that they showed off at E3, they're doing a live demonstration at San Diego Comic-Con to show off the gameplay for the first time, which won't be streamed.
But also apparently, because I think it's a Marvel gaming panel or something that they're doing, but there's other
Marvel game news. The one that I know that they're talking, or well, rumored to be talking about, is the Iron Man VR game as well, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Makes sense. Yeah,
we will hopefully have news on that next week, or and those things, you know, Marvel gaming things next week. Maybe some other surprises too, hopefully.
Gooigi!
Gooigi! Oh, God.
You know, that's why I think it's more the fact that it's now just there's ceaseless Coleman amusement from just saying the same word over and over again. It's just going to drive me insane over the next couple of weeks.
Dan's Gooigi would be Dan Goobins.
Slowly insane, really quickly insane.
Dan Goobins.
Really?
Tim Goobs.
Tim Slips.
Timothy Kenneth Goo-Hibs.
Goobs.
So basically, what you're going to do is you're just going to replace a random syllable in the thing with the word goo and just pretend that it totally works.
But what gooms have we done played?
Oh, God's sakes. Tim, you've got several. You go first. So then I know how much time I've got left to talk about what I've been playing.
Well, yes and no, because I did have a couple of games, as I said, from Develop that I still had to talk about from the previous week. But one of them I've now got a review code for, so I will talk about a bit more next week. These are a couple of kind of indie games from the kind of section of stuff there. The first one that, as I said, I'll talk about a bit more next week, but just to give it a reference because it's one that I actually played at the event, is a game called Heaven's Gate. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it's a kind of archaeology-based game where you are sort of interpreting text to kind of interpret a whole language, basically. Decipher.
I was about to say, you were just describing
language.
Reading a book for a moment there.
Well, it's all kind of in a kind of Sanskrit that doesn't make any sense to you to start with at all. It reminded me a little bit of the translation stuff in No Man's Sky, but it's kind of taken that and gone on a level from that as well. So it's got like different characters that represent similar ideas across different words, and then you're kind of translating them, and you can go back in and kind of mess around with the translations of the possible variations that you've narrowed it down to, and then kind of get to interpret like, okay, those two things look similar, so they mean this a similar thing, so it must be these two, and then that allows you to interpret half a word, and you can do that a few times by gathering a few different words from different places and locations that you visit throughout the game. But anyway, as I said, I'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But yeah, it's something that I'd seen before. I think it's just come out on PlayStation. It's already out on PlayStation 4, and it's already been on Steam, but it's just come out on GOG. As I said, I've got a review copy of that now, so I'm going to actually play that for review, and I'll hopefully come back and talk about that more next week.
Okay.
But yeah, it is available now. You might want to check it out if that sounds of interest to you. It's something where I played the game at Develop, and I was like, ooh, I really like this. And I literally said to the person now, I'm going to go home and buy this. And the only reason I didn't is because I'm a bit poor at the moment and very, you know, just happenstance got offered a review code. And I was like, oh, I'll take this one, please. as I said, I'll be talking about that more next week. But it was a game that I was prepared to buy with my own money just from the bit that I played. So that should give you a good recommendation. But obviously, you've got to like the idea of interpreting languages and going around doing that. But it's got a nice graphical style to it as well. It's kind of a cel-shaded sort of look. But as I said, I liked what I'd seen enough to invest at least my time in it and kind of giving you a review for next week, so I'll come back to that. But yeah, you know, I thought it was an interesting game and one worth looking at. Another one that I'll talk about fairly quickly, but a game called Sea Salt. Yeah, this was a kind of... it's a dungeon crawler where you almost feel like you're the bad guys. I'm not sure if that was definitely the case and that's what they were going for, but you're kind of... going around, and I think it is because you're basically attacking like villagers and other people and stuff, but you're a kind of horde of creatures, and you can add to that horde and add different monsters to that horde as you're going around. And you kind of just attack people as you go and kind of clear out areas to get to a kind of shrine where you can summon more creatures to your thing. And you can get like swarms of smaller enemies that do, you know, like kind of quick and do little bits of damage, or you can get like a really big hulking beast kind of thing that will be slow and attack things. But they've all got like kind of different variables to them in terms of like, you know, strength and how much hit points they have and all that type of stuff. But yeah, like, so you've got to have a kind of structure to the team of people that you're going around with and that you're kind of more ordering around. It was one of those games where you pick up and you'd like, oh, right, okay, yeah, I get the idea behind this. Oh, right, and I've got to do that, okay, and that. And it just all kind of just clicked together nicely and worked well. And yeah, like, it seemed like it would be a good, fun, kind of slightly different twist on a familiar feeling game, but it felt like enough of its own thing to be a bit different, basically. So yeah, Seasalt, as I said.
So my understanding of the setup is you like play an kind of an old god, the kind of god of the sea, and like the local town has started worshipping other gods and you don't like it, so you're going to kill them to death. Which sounds an interesting kind of twist on, you know, in some ways I suppose it reminds me of like kind of the Dungeon Master series of games where like you are the bad guy, quote unquote, and you're working out most nefarious ways to stick it to him, so to speak.
But yeah, as I said, it's just kind of, yeah, worked well and really good fun, kind of action strategy, yeah. Like, but yeah, it's another game worth having a look out for, one that I'll be keeping an eye out for. Well, no, I might try and pick up on Switch at some point. I think it'll be a good fit for that, basically. But yeah.
Because it's coming out on PC.
Yeah, yeah.
What other platforms is it?
I only know of Steam at the moment. I think I did try and ask them my standard question of any possibility. The standard question of is it coming out on the Switch? I was implying that was so obvious, and we did talk about it last week. Anyway, but
No. But I just want to check if there was any other platforms. That was all.
Well, no, as I said, I did ask about the Switch, and got the kind of standard response of, "Well, if it does well on PC, we'll see," kind of thing. So yeah, like hopefully so. But yeah, as I said, if you're more of a PC gamer than I am, one to have a quick look out for. It did play well and was good fun. So almost instantly. So one worth having a look at. It could be worth your time and money.
Did play well, was good fun.
Jolly good.
And in case we didn't make it clear, available on Steam at the moment.
Steam!
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 Goo!
Steam! Ooh, what?
Goo!
No.
Gooey! Just
no! Coal man. For the love of God, goo. Jesus, bloody Christ.
For the love of goo?
For the love of good.
You love goo? I love goo.
The goo god.
Oh dear. This is what happens when video game industry, you don't do enough news. This is what results. An episode like this.
Enough goos?
In fact, are we expecting anything to happen next week either? Well, obviously all the stuff from San Diego Comic Con, but it's going to be another show like this, isn't it? I can just tell. I can feel it in my bones.
Dan, next week, we might not have a new Switch to talk about.
Get out.
I don't
wash
know
your
that Nintendo
out.
Could do three in a row. That's all I'm saying.
They could do it.
It's not. I'm not ruling it out, Dan. I'm just saying not likely.
Or are they going to go, right, well, we've got one with the battery life. Now there's another one that is actually more powerful. So
but
are they going to give you options?
Shorter battery life.
Yep. So, yes. Who knows? It's a world gone mad. But I've played something as well, chaps. You'd be pleased to know.
Sacre bleu,
indeed. I have been chipping away at F1 2019, the official video game.
Oh.
By those wonderful chaps and chapettes at Codemasters. Been playing on the PC, and it is the virtual embodiment of this year's F1 season, complete with all 21 tracks. And also the ability to participate in the feeder series for Formula One, the rather originally named Formula Two. So it's all about kind of, it's all centered around your career is what it comes down to. So the first bit of the game, when you start it up, you're in an F2 team, and you've got to make the choice to support your teammate or not by giving him a win when you have an engine problem. Do you let him by? Do you not let him by? And you come across your big evil rival called Devon Butler, and he is a
Devon
twat.
Butler.
He is a twat.
He sounds like a Grange Hill bully.
Now, it does get a bit too Machiavellian in some ways. He goes, "Hey, now that I'm moving to the other team, you're going to enjoy winning now, right?" And he's just a dick. He's just a dick. He absolutely is a dick. And to the point where it's like, okay, you might have made him too much of a dickhead here, Codemasters. This is slightly ridiculous. But it's very much kind of the core loop is very similar to the other games in the F1 series that you go on practice. You have certain things to do and to achieve to get points to spend on your car to make your car better as the season goes on. That loop is present, correct, and intact. And you don't need to do like a full real-time Formula One race and practice and qualifying weekend. You could just have like three optional practice sessions, which you can take or leave. A one-shot qualifying, so just one lap, and you've got to do as quick as you can. And then generally about a 20, 30-minute race. One of the things they've done really, really well is make it accessible, this game. Because a lot of people think, oh, Formula One, it's not really technical. You've got like drag reduction and now this energy thing and like boost buttons and you can change the brake bias. And oh my God, my head is bleeding. You can make it really accessible to the point where it's just kind of pick a direction, press the accelerate button and off you go. I mean, you've still got to be a little careful with how you drive the car, because if you just slam the throttle on, you'll spin out, for example. But they have made the potentially convoluted world of Formula One quite easy to understand in the game. And it looks fantastic as well. I have been playing it on PC, but it's no slouch on certainly the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One as well. I don't think we're going to see a Switch port for this, sadly. but it's a fantastic looking game. And apparently the accuracy of the tracks is absolutely spot on. They've like laser scanned all of them. So like there's little bumps in the road on the virtual tracks as there would be in the real tracks.
Terrifying.
The weather's much more dynamic than it ever was. The actual kind of season by season changes. I'm still in my first F1 season, but unlike the previous entries in the series where the driver lineup stays static, people start moving around teams and stuff,
okay,
depending on how well or not they're doing, and drivers start getting like fired in the middle of the season once you get past the first one. So I think they contractually have to play out the F1 2019 seasons with a reasonable degree of certainty that all of the drivers are still going to be around, but it apparently can get quite interesting in the seasons down the road, because then the upgrades you've got to your car, because there's almost like an RPG element to it, where the more stuff you do, the more objectives you achieve on track, the more research and development points you get, and you can kind of tailor the development of your car to your particular driving style. And like after a couple of seasons, like all the cars are just crazy fast apparently, so it all gets a little bit silly, but I'm up for that. It's all good. And there's some great online functionality as well. It's not just go into multiplayer mode, race some randoms, rinse, wash, repeat. There's also like weekly events where there's kind of practice sessions and qualifying sessions which kind of put you in a bracket for the race, and then you'll be within that bracket, be match made against other people, and your best result sticks throughout the weekend. You can repeat the race as many times as you like, but yeah, they're pretty good fun. Turn one, utter carnage, unsurprisingly. No one knows how their brake pedals work at turn one, and it is just like bumper cars. But it's, I have to say, it was pretty good, pretty stable, not too horrible in terms of lag. And there's also, you can set up leagues as well. So like your own little mini leagues with, like, I think you can have like 50 players to a league. And it's, you know, you basically set a time every week where everyone meets up and races. And it's kind of like a slightly more chilled out version of, you know, a fully pro league where everyone's constantly chasing their global ranking. This is just, you can get together with a couple of mates. All right, Thursday night is race night. Let's all meet up. Let's all jump on the track. And you can set like track schedules and stuff like that. So that's really cool as well. The only thing I'm slightly disappointed about that I was very excited about was the car customization.
No Go Faster Stripes.
Yes, there are Go Faster Stripes available, but they are only a selection of predetermined Go Faster Stripes. You cannot design your own Go Faster Stripes. You can change the colour of those Go Faster Stripes, but you can't change the design other than what Codemasters has provided for you. I'd imagine that's probably a limitation on the F1 franchise's end, where they want to control, you don't want cars driving around with big dicks on the side of them, basically.
Because you know it would happen.
It would happen. But I mean, I've been thoroughly enjoying it. It's a great racing game, full stop, and a lot of fun, and can be as deep and as complex as you want to make it.
So where does this stack up in comparison to like Project Cars 2, which is the sort of equally in-depth car game?
I would say, so like on the real extreme end of the spectrum, you've got like iRacing.
Right.
And then the next least extreme, I would say, is Assetto Corsa. Then it probably goes Project Cars 2. And this, the way it feels to me at the moment, I think it really, the kind of, you can only really get into the mega technical side of things if you have a racing wheel and a set of pedals, which I don't have. Because that apparently makes it really fantastically immersive. It doesn't have VR support, though, which is a little bit of an oddity in modern racing games. I would say this sits somewhere between Forza Motorsport and Project Cars in terms of off-the-shelf complexity.
Yeah, it's weird, because it's Codemasters, and they've generally been decent at supporting VR. I'm surprised they haven't done so for F1. But
okay. Yeah, I have no idea. No idea why. I mean, it might be that they didn't feel comfortable at delivering a decent experience on all platforms in VR. It might be that there just wasn't enough processing wiggle room to get it working well on perhaps PSVR. But I'm surprised, certainly on PC, though, that there's no Oculus or Vive support.
Again, could be a licensing thing. They could have already sold a license to a VR F1 game, maybe, possibly.
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things, because F1, the as a franchise, did change hands in the past couple of years. It used to be run by Bernie Eccleston, but now it's run by a group called Liberty Media, and they have got quite severe golden handcuffs on a number of things that are holdovers from deals made by Bernie Eccleston, one of which is that if you want to watch a race live, you have to watch it on Sky Sports.
Stuff
them. Which is a pain.
Stuff them.
Because I don't want to give Rupert Murdoch money.
No.
But the Channel 4 coverage is very good, so I'm quite happy just watching highlights on Channel 4. But
yeah, it's nice when you can watch it live, though, no?
Yeah, although Formula 1, it's a bit like cricket, insofar as there are moments of heart-in-the-mouth excitement going on, but there are a couple of times in every F1 race, I would say, where there's a fair lot of nothing going on. And actually watching highlights, generally speaking, they cut all the chaff out. But, you know, if you like F1, if you're a fan of it, it's well worth picking up. It's a really nice compliment to the season. They're releasing it a couple of months earlier than they usually do, so you'll be able to, with over half the season still remaining, you'll be able to kind of do your own little hot laps before the race that weekend to get an idea of what you're watching on the telly when you see the pros driving around. If you're not a fan of F1, however, you probably wait for this to pop up on a sale. I think even if you're not really into the ins and outs of the sport, it's still a corking racing game. And you could do a lot worse, but probably wait for it on a sale.
I have a question, Mr. Dan.
Yes?
Do you find that racing the tracks gives you a better appreciation for watching it? Like, oh, I hate this corner. Oh, he did that really well, kind of thing. Or
yeah, and you kind of, you know, it's you work out which corners are tricky, for example, or like if it's raining, where cars like to fly off, or where the overtaking points are, or you know, where people have got to be a little cautious. So it can, to me, I often do a race round this weekend circuit beforehand, just to get an idea of what the drivers are going to be up against. And it does, to me, make kind of a weekend of F1 watching more enjoyable. So there's that as well. Hey, why not? You know, if you like vroom vroom cars and you like F1, buy this game. Vroom vroom cars, go vroom vroom. That is the summary.
Nice. Let's wrap up.
Nice. Let's wrap up. So, yeah, bit of a short show this week. Sorry, chaps and chapettes. But there's not much news, and we've kind of not been playing a great deal because...
I have been playing a fair bit, but I played a lot of Catan. And I talked
yeah,
about
whenever
that last
I
week.
Turn on my Switch, you're playing Catan
yeah.
again.
Well, I've been trying to get through the campaign and everything so I can actually do a write-up for it and, yeah. Get that done.
How much
point.
Fun are you having on a scale of 1 to 10?
I actually have to say, I am enjoying it, though. It's good. I now know the game a lot better, know some of the strategies a bit better. But there's quite a long campaign. It's been fun. It's been good. But yeah, like, there wasn't much variety in the campaign mode overall, like, so far, or... and most of the way through it. So yeah, like, they're all 3-player games, which I guess kind of makes them a bit quicker than a 4-player game and a bit less one-sided than a one-on-one kind of thing. But yeah, like, overall, it's been enjoyable. As you've said, I've been playing it quite a bit, but yeah, that's to get through all the different campaign modes and stuff. But yeah,
but it has not been getting good write-ups there, mate. I mean, I did think, wow, Tim's really persevering with this.
Well, it's got a reasonable interface in terms of, like, it's got like radial menus and you can bring stuff up and go through stuff like reasonably quickly. The trading, like, feels okay when you get used to it, but it feels like that could all be a little bit smoother. But it's all right, it's serviceable and it does okay. As I said, I enjoy the base board game, so getting to know that a lot better and getting to know the intricacies of it a bit better, and literally so I can get to a point of teaching, is quite a useful thing for me in the terms of the Tabletop Tuesday position.
Yeah, but to me, though, it's... And, you know, I'm not going to allow you to rabbit on about a game you've already talked about at length again, Tim, but to me, the thing that just amazes me is that there's no local multiplayer on the game.
Yeah, as I said, it's let down by the no local multiplayer, and I can kind of understand the decision, but it's a bit weird. But then there's some odd, like, things, like in the different campaign modes, there's varying amounts of victory points you need to win, and it doesn't surface that information. So, like, very often going through the campaign, I'm like, oh, this round was 14 points to win. Okay, that's good to know. I'll play that again and then try and get to 14 points, I guess.
But if you want to hear more about Catan,
yeah,
you know where you can go.
Yep, yep.
Last week's episode.
Or when I do an actual write-up of it as well. But yeah, there you go. But as I said, generally been enjoying it.
Blended. Well, that's it. We've run out of stuff.
Gone.
Stuff gone. Coleman, have you made any Mario Maker levels yet?
I have. I made one for my girlfriend and she's very angry at me. I did a little test run play around and I've got a pretty good idea of how I want to stretch this out and make a really dick hard game. I also tested out some people at work as well. So,
okay, well, bearing in mind we've run out of stuff to talk to and you probably want some of your life back, dear listeners, just goes to Tim to remind us that Tuesday is Tuesday. So tell us about Tuesday, Tim.
Tuesday is indeed a Tuesday, Dan. And yeah, this Tuesday and each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday. And if you come to the Loading Bar in Dalston, where we do the event, you can play our feature game. And if you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening and a free prize draw that we do at the end of the night. This week's game is a game called Forbidden City. It is a Reiner Knezia game. It's a bit similar to last week in terms of like it's a similar kind of mechanic of tile laying and a bit similar to Carcassonne. This is a slightly different take on it, and in a kind of Chinese setting of the Forbidden City. So yeah, should be a good one to come along for. Last week's event, absolutely rocking. Like 100 people or so there, basically. Yeah, standing room only, people playing on the bar, people outside. Yeah, it was good. And yeah, lots of people enjoyed the game. We had small islands as our last week's game. And yeah, I was glad to find it had English instructions because it was all in different languages on the back. But yeah, that game went down reasonably well. And this one looks like it should be a bit easier to pick up, quick to play. Hopefully, last week's one was supposed to be quick to play, wasn't that quick. but yeah, as I said, if you come along, you can win a copy of the game. There are more details on the top left-hand corner of Big Red Barrel. Or you can come along and join the over 1,750 people in our meetup group on meetup.com, search for Tabletop Tuesday.
Do all of those things. Yes. So yeah, all right. Well, I think that's it then for this show. I think all that really remains is for me to remind you that you need to go to www.bigredbarrel.com, where you'll find a bunch of other stuff tangentially related to what we're rabbiting on about here. And if you also go to www.twitter.com/bigredbarrel or facebook.com/bigredbarrel, you'll also find all kinds of fun loveliness in those directions as well. So yeah, that's it. That's your lot. We're done.
Gonna do some shout-outs before we run away? There is one this week, by the
I suppose
things.
We should, really. From the Twitter bits of the Twitter, I would like to thank Richard Kirk and also Andy Baines, who said, be honest at Captain Average, how long have you been sitting on that man up playing your name during the latest Big Red Barrel UK podcast? I seem to have amused Andy. You're quite welcome.
Good.
I've peaked. I shouldn't do any more podcasts ever. I've done one funny, and that's it.
It's a weird number to go out on at 352, but we gave it...
It's my lucky number.
We gave it the old college try, guys.
Yeah, it's my lucky number, 352.
That's a weirdly high number for a lucky number, Dan.
That means no one else is on my turf, though, right?
So it means he's also terrible at roulette.
yeah, exactly. It's true.
Come on, lucky 352.
But from the Facebook bit of the Facebook, I would also like to say thank you to Freya Goddard.
Thank you.
So, that's it. That is a show. It is done. Me, Dan. You, Tim.
Yeah.
You, Coleman.
Yeah.
And you, listener, I guess, I suppose. You, listener. So we will be back next week. Hopefully you all would have played a little bit of Marvel Avengers on the Switch, which would be bloody splendid if we can all find
lots
a way to do that.
Multiplayer.
Even multiplayer. Player of the multis. As well, but, you know, hey.
And no doubt other stuff as well. So make sure you come back next week. We'll be here waiting for you inside your MP3 player of your choice. So I suppose all that really is left to say is that I've been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
Yeah, you have.
I've been Coleman.
Coleman. And dear listeners, you've been listening to the show, so congratulations, have a biscuit. So until next time, dear listeners.
Can you be less sarky with our listeners, please, Dan, as you're closing out? Just, you know.
What would you like me to say to him? All right, you do it. You do it.
No,
fine.
No.
Don't lie a bit.
No. It's fine.
No, it's episode 352. No. You know, if you want to step up and take some responsibility for ending this show, mate, you're more than welcome.
Oh, I'll end this show, Dan. I'll end this show right now.
Go on, then.
Just spits out a massive tirade of racial slurs.
Finish the show.
Tim hung up. Tim hung up.
What an absolute... I bet you he's deleted his audio as well.
Probably. Yeah. Well, time will tell.
Time will tell. So it's just me and Coleman left now.
Yep. Oh, he's back.
Is he? You do realise that the listeners didn't hear any of that?
No.
No. I was wondering whether or not you stopped recording and then deleted your audio. Yep, good. Anyway, so now that Tim's back, all that remains for me to say is goodbye. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Gooigi.
You and your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.